From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Pastor Mike Gomez is the director of U-Turn for Christ. Evangeline is the director of the women's ministry, and she is Mike's partner in life. Thanks, man, did you marry up or what?
Yeah, I have an old mentor who tells me that all the time. You really married up.
Well, it's funny. There's different iterations of this story, but Billy Graham's wife was asked multiple times, what's it like to be married to the greatest evangelist of all time? And I think she said something like, well, if I'd have married this other guy, he'd have been the greatest evangelist of all time. Oh, I love it. Now, you guys are a great partnership, and your ministry, U-Turn for Christ, is doing some amazing things. So let's jump right into it. A lot of people hear Christians say you have freedom in Christ. What does that mean to a person when they're no longer held by the throat of addiction?
Yeah, I was just talking to a mother this morning. She was searching for her son. He had come into the ministry some time ago, left, and he fell back into his addiction. And she was just saying, I don't understand it. I don't understand why he's throwing away his life and everything he worked for. And it just comes down to the biblical concept of sin. Sin just doesn't make sense. You know, sin is what broke us and separated us from God. And when you have restoration happen, you know, that sin, the power of sin is removed. And that's what the gospel is. It's the good news that sin no longer has power. The flesh is fighting against the spirit against the flesh. And you have this this spiritual battle that's inside of a person that's, you know, the flesh versus the spirit. And it doesn't make sense. Sin will never make sense.
I want to read a quote that Evangeline gave us. And she smiled when I told her this before, so I hope she's okay with me sharing this. But she said in a previous, couple years ago when she was on the show, she said, I would drink recreationally, I thought. Then all of the sudden, I'm taking shots just to make dinner. I have my bottle hidden in the freezer behind the fish sticks. You think you are just going to take the edge off, and all of the sudden, it's a life-dominating sin. Evangeline, how does that happen?
It's a progression. Just you reading that, it's like embarrassing, but also reminds me just the depth of God's love and how he's so patient with us. It was just one choice after another, and alcohol had always been a part of my life. And I thought because I had a job and I was functioning, I didn't have an addiction because I was working. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, it's like I needed it. I wanted it, any opportunity I can have it. And I'm planning my weekends and life around alcohol. And when you're drinking to the point of blacking out, even though you're not doing it every day, it's a problem. And yeah, it's sin. And sin took over really quickly and allowed all these other, I wasn't able to make sober-minded choices. And all these other doors were getting opened in my life that should not have been opened had I been sober-minded.
So what brought you to the revelation that this was a problem and you had to stop?
Well, probably the last time just trying to take my life, end my life, and alcohol was involved in that.
Had alcohol started to cause problems in your life?
Yes.
Okay.
Relationship choices, being with people that I shouldn't have been with, all of that started to play a factor, and then trying to take my life was like my son was at home. He was 2 years old. I was a single mom at that time. And that was very eye-opening to live through that. God saved my life. But it still, I knew I needed Jesus. That's when I gave my life to the Lord on suicide watch.
Wow.
that night in the hospital. And I knew I had a problem. I just didn't know how to get out of it. But now, after that incident, there was a hunger in me.
So do you think there's a possibility people listening now could be in that same state of mind? What would you say to them to encourage them? You don't need to continue in this. You can be freed.
Well, Jesus is the only answer. And like I said, there was a hunger in me to like want to know. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't know anything about that, but I started looking for churches. I wanted to be, there was something in me that wanted Jesus. I just didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know how to live for him. And that's why this ministry is so important to me.
You're very open about your experience, as as you are, Mike. Are people not sharing that they have this problem because they're embarrassed?
Yeah, there's a lot of shame and guilt that keeps people back from sharing. And, you know, it's fear is what we really call it. Fear that people are going to use that against you, or fear that this situation is going to keep you back from having a future. And what it does is that same fear keeps perpetuating the same problem. So we have to end up coming clean and honest and being honest about the situation and not running away from your problems. You run towards it now, but you have to have somebody with you. And that's, you know, of course, the Lord Jesus. So it makes a difference, a huge difference, and your life is stabilized because of him.
What are some of the addictions that you've seen people overcome through your ministry with U-Turn for Christ?
You know, obvious ones are alcohol and drugs. Fentanyl is a huge epidemic right now. It's like nothing we've seen before. And inside of that, fentanyl is being introduced into all of the street drugs. So they're lacing all of the street drugs. People will be using other street
drugs. Like, for example, at one time, like when I was in college, longer ago than I'd like to admit, cocaine was probably the most expensive drug. But now they're cutting it with fentanyl.
Yeah.
So you're actually developing an addiction to two different things?
To two things, yeah. We've had people who have overdosed using, they went back, they went to cocaine, they overdosed on fentanyl, died.
Oh, gosh.
And it's just insane how that is all over. Unknowingly, people are thinking they're using something else. In reality, it's multiple things at once.
Talk to us about the program of U-Turn. You have a men's ranch and a women's ranch. Talk to us about the program a little bit.
Yeah, so the program, the U-Turn for Christ ministry, has been around for over 30 years. Our headquarters is in Paris, California. And we just celebrated 12 years being here in New Mexico last April. And I put a reminder to our team, 12 years discipling men of God in New Mexico. So it was amazing. But the ministry operates through discipleship. So yes, there's all the standard things that you would find in a drug and alcohol rehab program. But it's so much more than that. We not only just learn how to be free from drugs and alcohol, but you learn how to live a new life. Because it's a whole different lifestyle. And we emphasize that and say, you're not just getting free, you're getting a new life. It's like going into witness protection. You're no longer your old identity. You get a new identity. And that old identity no longer is supposed to mark you. Sometimes people continue on with that until they realize that's not me anymore.
Yeah. It's interesting that you don't have a co-ed facility. You have a men's facility and a women's facility. Evangeline's shaking her head. Do relationships kind of exacerbate, if you will, the substance abuse?
Well, yes. So we have to make sure our primary focus is keeping the focus on Jesus Christ, not on anybody else. So we separate them, and there's divine purpose in that. So we can focus on our relationship with Christ, because they need to be brought back to their first love. Those that have known him need to come back to their first love. Those that don't know him yet they need to seek first the kingdom of God.
Do you have couples that come into U-Turn? One's over in the men's facility, the other one's over in the women's, and they kind of came to the conclusion together, we need help, and they do that. And have you seen good outcomes from that?
Yeah. There's a lot of different couples that have come in, and for the first part of the program, they spend time apart. There's times where they, you know, we gather them together, obviously. But they need that time apart to get sober for themselves, for the reason that they can't depend on each other to stay clean. They're already depending on each other to stay not clean. They need to be dependent on the Lord first, and then they come back together over a little bit of time, transitional time. So the first 2 months, usually they're separated as far as living. And then, but they still communicate, but it's just that living quarters. And then we have a family unit. So we've had different families who have come in, and they are able to get into that family unit. Last couple that we had in there, they came together, and then they actually got their children back too.
Oh, wow.
So there's a whole process of things that happen over a length of time, and God restored their family.
So would it be true that legal authorities, like courts, mm-hmm. if somebody was involved in your program, they would see that as a plus?
Yeah.
And the reputation that your ministry has earned has a lot of credibility in the courts as well.
It does. We have kind of a strict setting for that purpose. We want to make sure everybody who's in our program is safe. And we want to have good credibility in the community. Now, it's a very difficult thing because there's a lot of chaos that happens in individuals' lives. And, you're dealing with chaos daily. But over the long term, we have great success because we don't tolerate, you know, people endangering other people.
Gotcha.
And so there is a lot of grace. But whenever you have you threaten somebody else's walk, somebody else's sobriety, we take that seriously, and we want to make sure that the people who are there feel safe.
Yeah,
and so that can be difficult and challenging.
Mike and Evangeline Gomez are a married couple. They are ministering together with U-Turn for Christ, New Mexico. You can find out information about the ministry at the letter U, Turn for Christ, written out, newmexico.org. Their phone number is 505-217-6888. It's my hope that as you listen today, first, I'm hoping there's people that want to get away from addiction, and maybe you could take advantage of the ministry and really see your life change. And because you guys have plenty of life change stories, and we're going to talk about more of those when we come back after this break. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. Tayshawn is bringing us back on the air, and I appreciate him signaling me because I start talking during the breaks, Mike, and I shouldn't do that. I should just wait for his signal. Be ready to go. Tayshawn, we appreciate you very much. He does a great job of engineering the show. I said before the break, I really admire what you're doing, and U-Turn does some amazing things. I mean, you are teaching people a different lifestyle, you're discipling them, what it means to be a Christian. I know through that process with me, I hadn't been part of U-Turn, but being discipled, I started to see who I was before God and understanding His great love for me. And it's kind of hard sometimes to understand how awesome God is. Like, I think about the fact that He's in the studio with us at KLYT, but He's also on the other side of the world in China at the same time. That's kind of incredible to think about.
It is. It's scary cool.
Yeah. Mike, I wanted to just testify to a couple things. We're going to talk in a minute about how U-Turn for Christ is funded. Mm-hmm. But you do a few things, like you have a thrift store up on San Mateo. Tell us the address.
It's 5500 San Mateo.
5500 San Mateo. And so if people are listening now and you think you might have some nice things, you guys, this is not, you got to donate nice things because people want to buy nice things and it helps U-Turn. But that's one of the ways that you raise money.
Yeah.
And I had a really neat experience because I was talking with one of your guys. I'd never really heard his testimony. And he was gracious enough during kind of a little lull in the number of customers up there. He basically shared with me some funny things. Evangeline and I were talking about it. He's been part of your ministry now, part of your leadership for 5 years. But before that, you'd thrown him out as a person, a substance abuser that had come for actual treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you welcomed him back. And so your love and the way God has used the ministry has really changed his life.
Yeah, yeah. He's his story's funny because he came several different times. I've known his parents. And one of the craziest things about it is that his parents were praying for me whenever I was running amok. And so then we got to, you know, basically return the favor to minister to their son when it came around time for him to, you know, get right with the Lord. But it took a couple of times. And, you know, sometimes we'll just say, well, you're just not ready. You're not humble enough. Whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And so he finally came back. He goes, I think I'm ready now. And he had spent some time in jail and cooled off. And he was ready. And he became a great part of the ministry. So God's doing a great work in his life.
When you're involved in drug addiction or alcohol addiction and maybe you've gotten in trouble with the law, is that painful? Does it hurt? What does it feel like?
Yeah, to the individual, a lot of the pain is self-inflicted.
Mm.
And so you feel, and then it's consequences. Consequences were ordained by God so you could feel pain so you'll stop.
Mm.
And that's the consequences catching up to us physically in your body. Sometimes people experience that. Mentally, they're drained, emotionally drained. They've lost, relationships, friendships, and even kids, you know. And so they feel all of that. We feel that because it's the consequences of sin. But you can also have hope, you know, restored. And there's a good consequence too. Once you sow good seed, we're talking about that seed.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that the harvest of that good seed that's a good consequence.
Evangeline, in our first segment, you talked about at a point in your life, being an alcoholic, mm-hmm. you felt like taking your own life, but you came to faith in Christ. How many years ago was that?
Oh goodness, 19 years or so.
And how long have you been hanging out with this guy sitting next to you?
16 years.
16 years. So how do you see yourself? How has God shown you something different about yourself now compared to how you felt about yourself then?
I see myself as Psalm 139 says.
Mm.
And that's important to me because I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. And knowing that He says that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Mm.
And all those things that I did, all the sin that's back there, it's back there. I'm a new creation in Christ now because of what Jesus did for me. And that's something that I constantly am pouring into the ladies in the ministry. They're no longer the old. They get to walk in the newness of life. And that's important for us to be reminded of.
I'm going to read part of that. Okay. Can I? Oh, Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. Did you ever think about God knew everything about you in the lowest of lows?
Yeah.
You did?
When I read that, yes.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, like he knows everything about me. I don't have to hide anymore.
You know, when I sit up or stand up, when I sit down or stand up, you know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me, your place, your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. What's his hand of blessing?
The life that I have now, because statistically, for both my husband and I, we should not have the marriage that we have. Mm. We should not have the relationship that we have together or being able to serve in any capacity other people, statistically speaking, because of our background. But because of Jesus Christ.
You smashed all those negative expectations, didn't you? God's just smashed it. You guys are doing amazing stuff.
Yeah, he's just everything to us, and our lives are dedicated to this work, and that's we're committed to it because you realize people are more committed to something when they've actually seen it work in their life, and that's how every believer in Christ should be.
Yeah. Talk to us about people listening now, how they could help you. How's your organization funded?
So we're privately funded. We have different streams of income to fund the ministry.
By the way, my dad's house was going to close, had a big windstorm. Every leaf in the neighborhood went into the yard right before the inspection. I called U-Turn for Christ. You brought out a crew. I thought they were going to take them. It would have taken me 2 days. You guys were there for an hour, and it was clean as a whistle. And you provide those services to help the ministry.
Yeah, we have the landscape crew. We've been doing that for a long time. And that's a twofold thing. You know, there's a job training aspect to it. And, you know, there's leadership and logistics and maintenance of the tools and just job training in general. But it, you know, also helps fund the ministry, and so we've done that since the beginning, and you know, by God's grace, we'll continue to do it. As I get older and older, I feel less capable, but I still get out there, and I do it with the guys, and it's fun. It's fun because you get to show somebody how to use a piece of equipment and kind of teach them, you know, different things about life, and you're doing this together.
Well, I mentioned Saturday, I was talking with one of your guys at your thrift store, and that's another way that the ministry is supported. You have a lot of people. Do the women and the men both work there and man the store?
Yes. So that is part of the job training aspect of it as well. But most of all, it's getting the focus off of self and getting it on serving others. Yeah. And the thrift store is a great way to do that. It's a community resource center.
Well, plus you got some cool stuff in there.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. I mean, you had a sale where you're trying to get rid of things that didn't sell or that might have been a little harder for people to pay attention to. I know you had some really nice bed frames and different things that you're able to sell. So 5500 San Mateo is the thrift store, and you got people stocking, you got people selling, you got people cashiering. You already mentioned you have a landscape crew. I will tell you, I also recommended you guys to a friend of mine that moved here from Sacramento. I don't mind mentioning my friend Randy Rich, who used to be the general manager of KLYT, a former Denver Bronco. He moved out to Mariposa. He says, Jim, I need some reliable people to unload my pods. He says, I think it's going to take 4 or 5 hours. U-Turn for Christ comes out, empties 3 pods in a little bit over an hour. And by the way, flawlessly, no dings, no dents. Sometimes stuff happens, I'm sure, but
yeah.
In this particular instance, those guys were flawless. And 4 or 5 people just got it done really quickly. So we really appreciate that. How about people that just want to give? Your website is U-Turn, that's a U-T-U-R-N, forchristnewmexico.org. Can they give right on the website, and is that pretty secure?
Yeah, it's secured. It's through the Tithely program, and then there's also a
Can I give people an idea about the expense? So you have people that you are feeding. They are living full-time on your facility. Mm-hmm. They are required to pay a little bit of money to be in the treatment program, right? But it's pretty low amount.
Yeah, there's it's divided. We have beds available for fully funded, partially funded, and then a scholarship. And so the scholarship means that the cost is covered for them. they make a higher commitment. People who come in fully funded, they only have to make a shorter commitment, and they can make a longer commitment. And so there's different ways that.
How long is somebody typically in your program?
Two to 8 months, and that's a good time frame for people to decide whether or not they need to stay longer. We want them to make their own choices.
Oh, and I got to bring up something else because I'm a big mouth. I'm an old coach. I know somebody that needs this treatment. So if I go to them and say, you need to go to U-Turn for Christ, I'll pay for it. You need to go there today. Is that going to work?
Possibly.
I mean,
it's like throwing a lifesaver to somebody.
Is there a lever? I guess I'm thinking about, I'm a grandparent, right?
Yeah.
Grandparents, other relatives, uncles, aunts. Sometimes mom and dad have lost credibility. They shouldn't. They'll regain it if somebody comes to faith in Christ. But is there a way to, I don't know if the word is force, but can you make people get help?
You know what? There's love for each other. There's accountability for each other. But I don't think anybody can truly be forced to do anything. Otherwise, they're going to do it on the outside, but there's no true change on the inside. And that's what we're saying, that a life with Christ can do. God can change you from the inside out. And that's really what we want people to see. There are circumstances, though, that people get put into through God's divine plan, such as, you get incarcerated and you have to go do a program, and through no doing of ourselves or anybody else, they just end up there reaching out and saying, hey, I need to do a program, and they come in.
So not necessarily a believer,
yeah,
a person. They can come even if they're not a believer.
Yeah. Yeah, they can come if they're not a believer. They just have to be willing to do the things that we do, and we're upfront about that and not shy.
They're
about
still
that.
Going through discipleship though, right?
Yeah.
Even if they don't believe. Have you seen people come to faith?
Many.
That have done that?
Many. Some of our old leaders and everybody, they came. One guy, I think I mentioned this before, he came with what he thought was a Bible, but it was a devotional book.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, oh, you need a Bible. And he pulls it out and he's like, wow, I have this. Like, oh, well, that's not a Bible, but it's good. But here's a Bible.
Yeah.
And, just from the ground up. And there's many, many people who come like that. It's open, very open.
I love it. I love it. Mike and Evangeline Gomez, they are the leadership of U-Turn for Christ New Mexico. They have both a women's ranch and a men's ranch. And I'm going to ask for maybe some stories about people and the types of things they've overcome and what the outcomes are when we come back in this third section. So stay with us. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. Evangeline, I'm going to start this segment by reading part of Psalm 137:9. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. I can't help but go back to what you said earlier about before you knew Jesus, when you were an alcoholic. I guess you kind of say that you're always an alcoholic. Is that right?
Alcohol's always been a part of my life, even in childhood.
And you didn't even know there was an alternative to not using alcohol. Has it always been in your family and that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
But when you were thinking about, taking your life, you realized from this scripture that God knew what you were thinking. Mm-hmm. And then you came to faith in him many years ago. God's now shown you fruit of your ministry. You have a little ballerina in your family. I always bring that up because she dances in Christmas Joy, and that's one of my favorite things. My older daughter did that, and I just thought it was an amazing thing. But your family is a miracle. You said it. Talk to us a little bit about some of the outcomes with women that you've been working with. Can you share a story or two?
Well, there, I would like to share what just happened in the overcoming addiction class here at Calvary. We had a few ladies finish from beginning to end, which is very rare. Didn't miss one single class. And the feedback that we got at the end of it is pretty phenomenal, because they're like, I was making this harder than it had to be. I was treating this like a special sin.
Oh.
And it's just coming, knowing God, knowing his love, knowing his word, the basics of discipleship. And it was like so like a breath of fresh air to me to hear them say, it's really this simple, because it really is.
But simple doesn't mean it's not hard.
That's mm-hmm. correct. They went through some deep wrestling with the flesh and the spirit through the class, and them saying, I just need to surrender, but I know what I need to do now. It wasn't easy, but at least they had it, that black and white right in front of them, like seeing, oh my gosh, this is an idol in my life, and I need to give this to Jesus. And these are women who have been walking with the Lord for a really long time.
Yeah.
It's not like they haven't sat here under the teaching of God's word. It was they were walking in areas of rebellion in their life that they hadn't given over to the Lord. And just to see the light bulbs go off of like, this isn't a disease. It doesn't have to dominate me. This is sin, and I can give this sin to Jesus just like I've given every other sin over to him. And it was just so cool to watch from beginning to end, just like it is in the ministry of everyday discipleship with the ladies. But sometimes, like in this class, you only get to see them once a week. So it was a longer, it took a little bit longer to see the light bulbs go off. But it was really cool to watch just the simplicity of the gospel.
I've had some people ask me, well, I don't know about you Christians. I don't think I can live up to all the rules that you have. And I said, what rules? I said, what are you talking about? Oh, well, the Bible's just a book of rules. I said, well, you know, the Ten Commandments are Ten Commandments, but really Christ says that we have to be heart motivated, and he's the only one that can change our heart. And then I like to read them this quote from 1 Corinthians 6. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. So you're left with the decision, can you drink or not drink? Can you do this or do that? Well, you would decide. Is it profitable for you? Probably not. All things are lawful for me. This is the one that really scares me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And that's the one that people forget, isn't it? I mean, you didn't plan on being an alcoholic when you started drinking.
Not at all.
But at some point, it mastered you.
Yes.
Would you say that happened to you, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah, the mastery of you know, a substance doesn't really have, it's not a person, right?
Yeah.
But we want to blame the alcohol, or we want to blame the substance, but what's left out of it is us, mm-hmm. you know, taking responsibility and... So a lot of times people will say, well, the alcohol made me do it. But, you know, the choice goes back to you taking in the alcohol. It's not all, yes, the substances, they do what they do. But the issue is not just at a physical level. That's what we're saying. For a lot of people, they see addiction simply at the physical level, and they never get to the root of the issue. The root of the issue is brought up in the gospel, and the root of the issue is the flesh, sin, and the overcoming of all of death and sin by Jesus Christ at the cross. It's triumphant victory. And I think people, they have a hard time imagining that it's something more than physical, when in reality, it's easy to see.
So if you're if you've used methamphetamine and you are addicted, I don't know what that feels like. I don't know what it looks like. I've seen some people that I can recognize as meth addicts because their gums and their teeth and a lot of there's some symptoms physically that you can notice. What's the hardest part? If they come to faith in Christ, they understand they can be redeemed. God loves them no matter what. What's the hardest part? Is it physical or spiritual, finally escaping that addiction?
You know, in the medical sense, they would say acute symptoms are the physical, right? And immediately that's what we're regretting once you're sober. You're starting to feel the physical symptoms, and you start saying to yourself, I wish that I hadn't done this. And so your body is letting you know it's harder to do things. But then after some time, more reality starts to set in. And you start to see that it was regret and the shame of all of the things that you did or you missed out on or you gave up for something that would seem trivial, would seem small, but for some reason that choice was made somewhere in our life.
But aren't you receiving spiritually two different messages?
You could be.
I mean, God wants to tell you you are free, you're a new creation, but the enemy wants you to hear something else. What is that, Evangeline?
Just hopelessness, and that you can never get out of this. And
but that's a lie, isn't it?
It's a lie, but it's so convincing when everybody else around us believes like alcoholism's a disease, and if you have it in your family, you're never going to overcome it. It's like a special type of thing that can't be overcome. And it's a lie from the pit of hell that only Jesus can break down that lie. And that's when they come to us, that's why we're so, the word of God is what they need. And that's what we focus on. Not here in the class, in the addiction class, there at the ministry in Your Term for Christ, we focus on the word of God because that's how the lies get dismantled one by one. And that's what he does all the time because it's not hopeless. Hope is found in Jesus.
You have a couple of women that are, you say, graduating from the program.
Yes.
How important is that? How do they feel about having completed the program?
These are milestones. So we have them write papers before graduation, which is really, really important on what God has done in their life and plans moving forward. And I love to read these papers because it gives you a glimpse into what they're thinking on the inside. Some of us have a hard time like verbalizing, but to see it written, the ladies will say like, I didn't know, I never thought I could be set free from this. I never thought the desires of my heart would change. I thought I was only going to be here for 60 days. And here I am, one of our ladies, she just completed 8 months and she decided to stay on longer. She doesn't have to. So it's no longer behavior modification, it's heart change.
Yeah.
And we have another lady that's graduating her first 60 days now on Friday. And it's just phenomenal to watch. And this lady has been in the Word, just in the Word as much as she constantly can be. And to see the rapid change in her mindset, to see her mind being renewed, it's amazing to watch. Because you come in and especially for those that are on different types of medications and they think, well, I'm just going to be on these for the rest of my life. And to watch God renew their minds and they're like, wow, I never thought I would be off of these. And here they are functioning without them.
Yeah. You know, that brings to mind, probably should ask you about this earlier, Mike, but there are pain medications, opioids, for example. I was an athlete. And I had my oxycodones and all of those different things. I don't know that I was an addict, but I will tell you that when I hurt my knee the last time, it was really, really painful. And I liked morphine way too much. Like way too much I liked it.
Yeah.
That it terrified me.
Yeah, a lot of people start using opioids and things like it for pain management. They start off in the right way, trying to deal with an injury. And you're right. They like it too much or the flesh likes it. We get taken away, swept away by the sensations and the feelings, and we get led by that. And it's an easy way to fall into it. And if you're left unchecked, it develops into addiction. Not everybody who takes a drink or not everybody who has pain medication is going to become an addict, but it can happen. And it's easy to be swept away in it because you just never know how powerful it is until you're you're too far in to turn around.
Yeah. Mike and Evangeline Gomez are with U Turn for Christ New Mexico. Their website is U, starts with the letter U, turnforchristnewmexico.org. Their phone number is 505-217-6888. You might really think about possibly providing some funding to them on a monthly basis. I think Evangeline said the actual cost of them taking care of people is about $16 for an individual, which is a heck of a deal for them, and what a blessing. So, you know, maybe you can do a couple hundred a month or, you know, something like that to help them.
Yeah. All the funds go towards the ministry, 100%. And we don't have any state-sponsored or federal-sponsored funding, so it's all private. We have to work to fund our whole ministry, and it's makes it so that it stays the Jesus's ministry.
Yeah,
and that's the one He gave us. And there's plenty of rehabs and programs doing great work, and this just happens to be the one that God gave us, and so we guard that identity and try to keep that focus as much as possible.
You know, one of the things I like about your guys, the guys that are in your program, is they're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I see them at church. I know that I see them working. They work with great joy. I've already mentioned three or four projects that I've recommended them to, and the people I've recommended you guys to have been very happy. When we come back, I'm going to talk about a fun new thing that you're doing. It's a coffee shop, and we're going to talk about, because people love coffee, right?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Mike Gomez, Pastor Mike, is the director of U-Turn for Christ. Evangeline is the director of the women's ministry. They are partners in life as well. How did you guys meet?
We met because my mom set us up. I was living on the East Coast, and my mom had met her. She was an insurance sales agent. She sold my parents' insurance for their business, and my mom said, "Hey, I have a son who I'd like you to meet." So my mom literally set us up.
But we knew each other since sixth grade.
Yeah.
We just didn't.
I didn't realize it was her. And
did any of this stuff that we've talked about, your own personal testimonies, did any of this come out while you were dating?
Yeah, we were very upfront about our past. And we knew everything about each other. And we had a, we met on a weekend. I was home visiting, and we ended up talking after that, and it was just and I had been out of the loop with relationships like that. I'd been serving in ministry for a long time already, and I did not know how to talk to a woman. And it was just like I had become like a new man, a boy again, and God had to retrain me how to talk, and she was very gracious and kind to me to be able to be patient with me with that process. So yeah, we met, and I told her if I ever moved back, I wanted to do U-Turn for Christ here in New Mexico, because that's what my calling was. And she knew about that and was on board with that. And she was already going to church, and it was great because I didn't want to have to try to convince the wife, you know, that God has given me to try to, let's go be Christians.
Oh, you didn't want to do missionary dating?
No, I wanted somebody who was on board, and I wanted God's best. And then that's what I believe God brought.
So in some ways, though, your past is similar.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, that's in hand. Not recommending people go through that.
Yeah.
Addiction in order to be successfully, but in this case, that's kind of helped your marriage as well.
Yeah, I think it's a testament to God's wisdom and grace in anybody's lives. It's the same. So He doesn't love us more than He loves anybody else. It's the same for anybody out there who's struggling, who has lost hope. If you're out there and you're listening right now, God loves you. Jesus died for you, and He wants to give you a new life, and it's there for you. Just go to Him. Reach out to Him.
And Evangeline, I love the fact that you're teaching some courses outside of the ministry. You mentioned one that you've been hosting at Calvary Church. But U-Turn for Christ, you do some work. You guys have cleanup crews come over and help do the campus, but you're doing that other places as well.
Yeah, we get called out to for the different men and women. We love them to be exposed to the church family. When they leave from our program, we're going to be with us forever. You're going to have to go and find your forever family and the body of Christ somewhere for you. You want them to be experienced in that, to know what that looks like, to be around other healthy men of God and to see what that looks like. So we appreciate when churches and individuals and businesses reach out and just pour into the lives of those. And there's ways to do that with us. If you are interested in that, this, and we'd love to partner up. It's an incredible work that we do together. We're up together in the Lord and watch what God does. And
you can reach out to Mike or Evangeline at 505-217-6888 or through their website, uturnformexico.org. You also have a newsletter.
Yeah, you can sign up for the newsletter. So we do it every month, every other month, depending on who we have writing. My wife will do an article, or I'll do just the updates, periodics. So, and it's a great way to keep in touch of some of the events. Like we have the women's tea party that they did, garden tea party that was successful, and a lot of ladies came out. There's just different things that we do to keep in the community.
Evangeline, can I ask you a mom question?
Absolutely.
So you have young children. Is there anything parents can do to equip their young children to not have to go through addiction?
I guess what all of us are called, keep them in the Word, keep them coming to church, don't make it optional. And that's what we do with our kids. Our kids are memorizing scriptures on this mission field with us. They're not excluded. It's not like, oh, we do the, you'll see our kids at the thrift store. You'll see them at the women's ranch shoveling horse poop with us because this is our mission field as a family. Mm. And that's what we instill in them. It's not about us just living lives for ourselves anymore. We're living our lives for Jesus Christ, and we're going to do that together, family, model that for them.
Now, I can see you, Evangeline, at the ballet, little cultural style, but I'm not sure about Pastor Mike.
Yeah, you know what? You can find me anywhere. I grew up actually as an auto diesel.
Did you?
And so I was a wrench head, and I was into cars and motorcycles and fast stuff. So, but you know what? Having little girls in my life, and we have the two little girls, and I've had to, you know, learn how to become a cultured dad, you know?
And they'd
be like, I'm not a boy, Dad. I'm a girl. I'm like, oh, I better treat these little girls like little ladies, you know?
And by the way, the ministry that your daughters are involved in at Magnify,
yeah,
what a neat, Jesus-loving, professional dance troupe they are.
It is.
And Christmas Joy, I mean, what a presentation of, you know, the birth of Christ. It's just an amazing show.
Best in the city, I'll tell you.
And they talk about the Lord. And I'll tell you this, how old are your girls?
14 and 9.
Okay, so they've been dancing for a long time. How long, Evangeline?
Oh, Abby's been dancing since she was 4.
Okay, now I want you to know something. And I've had, of course, the Magnify folks on. My daughter danced in Christmas Joys from the time she was. And some people don't understand how hard those kids work. I mean, they put in hours. It is striving for excellence, and it's all to honor the Lord.
Absolutely. That's what we instill in our daughter. Like, do what you're doing, but do it for the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's why we love Magnify so much.
If you are facing an addiction now, don't feel any embarrassment. Get some help. Call 505-217-6888. UturnForChristNewMexico.org is the website. Mike and Evangeline Gomez are people that have done that. They're not going to look down on you. They know exactly what you're going through, so I hope you'll get some help. Thank you for listening to ABQ Connect. Thanks, Gomez family.
Thank you.
Thank you.